member of the committee coming from Eastern Cape.
Good morning, Jacques Julius, member of the committee from Gauteng.
Good morning, Gahasan Koni, representing Northern Cape, member of the committee.
Good morning, Omi Singh, member of the committee, representing KwaZulu-Natal.
Morning, Lennox Taylor, member of the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good to be here. I think we've been working together for some time. Morning, honorable members, colleagues. My name is Mamoloko Ubaye Ngubani. There's an addition now. Minister of Communications. I'll allow the team to introduce themselves. And Chair, if you have not received the approach of the DM because of the work, she's sitting in another committee of cabinet because we do have quite a number. I'm sorry, stated. I'm from another one, so she's going to another one. Okay. Thanks, Minister. Good morning, honorable members. My name is Basani Baloyi. I'm the Acting Director General of the Department of Communications. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, honorable minister. My name is Sikele Dipendesa, the Chief Financial Officer for the Department of Communications.
Good morning, members. My name is Sandile Nene. I'm an advisor to the minister.
Good morning, minister. Good morning, members. My name is Tufuno Marora. I'm the advisor to the minister.
Good morning, minister and members. My name is Thabiso Titi. I'm the chief of staff to the Minister of Communication.
Thank you very much. Can my support staff introduce you?
Good morning, everyone. I'm Alanis Melane, Research and Comms.
Good morning, Honorable Minister. Good morning, Honorable Members. My name is Pomelele Sibis. I'm the Committee Secretary.
Good morning to everyone. My name is Amanda Zindlan. I'm the Committee Assistant.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Baba Tumuzo, the Executive Secretary of the Office of the Chairperson.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ntobokang Sekgune. I am from PNG.
Thank you very much. Minister, I'm not going to do any opening remarks, but I'm going to allow you, you are New Year, and I'm sure that you want to give us some remarks. But of comfort for the way forward in this Can I first greet you with the apologies, Minister? I received, Minister, I didn't receive any apology, a written one, but we noted the apology of the GAM. We also received apologies from Park, Honorable Parkin. That was Kachni Smith, Lambo, and Matene. Thank you, those are the apologies. Thank you, Minister. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Members. We here at the Department today presenting our annual report for 2016-17. Chair, just to give a highlight in terms of where we're sitting, we definitely are confident that performance has been what we would have expected, or even we could have done more, but I think it's acceptable where we are. The department is functioning very effectively, especially under the conditions that the department is, as you note, that the constraint in budget, the constraint in funded posts. You'd note in the presentation how many posts we funded. I mean, if you are to look at that, you see that is actually in other departments a branch that is able to function. So we still need more resources to be able to fund branches that or individual posts that will help us to fulfill our mandate. But what we can say here is that we're doing more with less under the circumstances, that's one, in terms of the funding, in terms of capacity in the department. And equally, Chair, you know that even in terms of the acting positions, in terms of senior management, the presentation will come, working around the clock at least to fill at the top level executive so that we can have DDGs. We currently do not have DDGs in the department, and as well we have an acting DG. So we're working around the clock as well to ensure that at least by the end of this year, we have those posts filled, Chairperson. Now, the other issue that I want to speak to, Chair, is in terms of the work that we've been assigned, you know that there are areas where we've done well as the department in terms of outreach, engagement, and perhaps maybe when you look at our stakeholder and our awareness of GTT, we've done well. And somebody might say that there's not been a movement in the digital migration, though you've gone out and made sure that the public is aware, you've held more engagement. And the engagement, what is significant, Chair, is engagement that has happened in rural communities, majority of them. In remote areas, we've not gone to most urban areas to do the engagement. And I think that's one of the significant parts, that we're talking to people who really need the information, might not have access to the information. Now, part of the issues that we're looking at is to have a review, to look at what specifically has led to us not being able to move faster in terms of our digital migration. And Chair, just to highlight that one of the stumbling block was the court challenges that we experienced, and note that the court challenges were relating to either encryption or non-encryption. Now, that process has been concluded by the Constitutional Court. We have a judgment. But equally, part of the issues that we must do and have a discussion as a department is that when we started, the project is almost, I think, 7 years old, or even more, if I'm not mistaken. 2006, we wanted to do this. We are in 2017. It's almost 11 years behind. We set a deadline of 2015. The deadline has passed. Now we're looking, we can't miss the 2019 because otherwise we'll be shut down. We'll have a problem in terms of digital migration. Now, part of our priority is this project of digital migration and making sure that we do deliver on it. And what we have said to the team is that let's rather at the moment focus in spending the money that is currently allocated. We know in terms of our projections that we do not have enough money to be able to implement this project, but what would be important is for us to spend what we have so that we can demonstrate capacity of the project moving and demonstrate the ability of spending so that we can be able to spend the money. But equally, Chair, we will have to look at partnerships. How are we going to do partnerships in the project? How are we going to make sure that we take advantage of and engage with the telecom sector, see how they can be able to come on board and play, because obviously because of the spectrum they have much interest in. The other issue, Chair, that I need to flag, which the team will come into, is around the policy. You know that most of the time in terms of driving the work in a sector, you need a certainty around policy. Our policy has not been concluded because we are currently, was sent to Cabinet. Cabinet sent it back for consultation and that will be concluded. But equally, one of the things that colleagues would have to note is the process of the white paper and implication to us was specifically on the broadcasting side, that we had to look at into that. We had to make sure that we understand that, because one of the targets that we had was around the ICASA Act. Now, when you look at what Cabinet passed as white paper in terms of implementing the economic regulator, it has an implication on ICASA. So we are currently in the process of engaging both ICASA and GTPS to make sure that there is synchrony in what we are doing. We do not have challenges. So some of those things, let me just flag them up front in terms of our work. In our SOC oversight area, I think there's work that has been done. I mean, we have, as I said, no capacity, but the team is doing their best to be able to do the oversight. There are still challenges in there and the chair that we have to look in how do we strongly capacitate the team to be able to effectively do oversight so that it's not only the department that, for example, gets a clean audit, but equally our entities turn around and get clean audit, because you think that that is doable, but you'd have to have a team that is sitting in oversight to be able to constantly look at the compliance issues, look at what is needs to be done from the entities themselves, so that what, as a shareholder in those entities, the things that we need to do, for example, in ICASA, ensuring that the councillors sign performance agreement is what we need to ensure, so the team will have to have capacity to be able to follow up on those things. Make sure that the stability in entities, for example, around SABC, around MDDA, the work that needs to be done in FPP. But even on those space, Chair, there are some vacancies as well that we are looking around the clock. We've interacted with the board chairpersons to ensure that they may process and fast-track the issues of filling of vacancies. So that's what I think I should highlight, Chair, up front from where we're sitting. But I think we're presenting quite a good report from where we're sitting as the department. Thank you very much. And through you, I can hand over to the teacher.
Thank you for the introduction, Minister. And as I said, you know what to me is committee is expecting from the department, and I'm sure that you will concentrate on those areas as a former chairman. Honourable members, is there anyone who wants to comment or say something on the input? If not, I'm going to give over the Minister then to you and to your acting DJ to do the presentation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The mandate of the DOC has not changed since our last presentation, so I would not go through that slide in detail. And with regards to the strategic goals, we have not even changed them as of last year or this year. And then overall, as far as our performance is concerned, we had 29 targets planned for the 16-17 financial year. Of those 29 targets, we achieved 22, and 7 of those targets were not achieved. Overall, the department performed at 76%, and we have exceeded our performance with about 3 planned targets, and ultimately we received a clean audit. Now, this is a graphical presentation of our performance per program, and that reflects what has been achieved during the course of the year. And below is a pie chart that shows, you know, how we have arrived at that performance. With regards to the targets that we have achieved and exceeded in the area of finance, that is, of the requisitions that we had to convert into orders within 48 hours, we have achieved 98% as compared to the 70% target that we had. And in the area of broadcasting digital migration around awareness, we have exceeded our targets in that area, as Minister has stated. And around that, also around digital migration, we have managed, you know, to do well as far as stakeholder management is concerned. I'll start with program one, that is administration. Honourable members, our situation has not changed since the last financial year. We still receive most of our services, you know, from the GCIS in the area, especially in IT, internal audit, supply chain, and facilities management. And that on its own is a problem also to the GCIS, because they are supporting us, you know, with the same resources that have been allocated to them. So in those areas, the GCIS provides services to both departments. The department had 90 funded posts, and of those 90, only 76 have been filled and 14 are vacant. As far as employment equity is concerned at SMS level, we are sitting at 42% for females and 58% for males, and we have exceeded our target of 2% for appointing people with disabilities. We are sitting at 2.6%. Honorable members, we do comply with the legislation in the development of the workplace skills plan and the employment equity. But however, we do have challenges as far as implementation is concerned, you know, due to budget constraints. So we normally participate in programs that do not have financial implications, you know, that are initiated, you know, by other departments like the National Treasury and the DPSA. And with regards to internal audit, we have managed, you know, to comply with the frameworks. And we have also, you know, around legal services, managed to achieve what we had to do. And in our area of legal services, we've got only one director that supports both departments, that is the GCIS and ourselves, which is, we are also overstretched, but however, we have managed, you know, to do well in that particular area. In the area of finance, we have complied with the PFMA and also with the Treasury regulations. And during the course of the year, we managed to pay 99% of the invoices that we had within 30 days. And as I stated initially, 96% of the requisitions were converted into orders within 48 hours. So in that area of finance, we have done also very well. We have also complied with the prescripts around planning, which is normally done by the National Treasury and the DPME. And we have also tabled our APP in line with legislation. And we have done fairly well in the area of achieving our outcome 14 in partnership with all our entities, mainly the SABC and the Brand SA. And then we have also complied with legislation around the development of the service delivery improvement plan. In line with our core program, which is communications policy research and development, we've got only one chief director in that area and one director. And this is another area where we've got you know, capacity challenges, but however, we have done quite well, you know, in this area with what we've got. The first program that we had, the first policy that we had around our regulatory program, we had to develop a white paper on audiovisual and digital content policy for South Africa. It had to be approved. However, as Minister has stated, we had a lot of, you know, legislation, you know, that we had to develop, you know, not only about by the department but also with DTPS. And with this one, we have now finalized it, and it has gone through cabinet committees. However, we're directed to ensure that, you know, it's we consult with the Department of Post and Telecoms and with Economic Development. The consultation process has commenced. And we hope that, you know, by the end of financial year, it would have gone out, you know, for consultation. With regards to the ICASA Amendment Act, as the Minister has stated earlier, we still have got challenges, you know, around this amendment, and it was not signed into the Act because of the GTPS is also has also developed the ECA, which has got a matter that, you know, is around developing or establishing another regulator. So we'll start, you know, conversation with the DTPS to, you know, to ensure that, you know, our legislations are aligned, and, you know, to ensure that, you know, there are no duplication of services in the process so that we create stability in the sector. With regards to the communications broadcasting support strategy, we have developed that strategy. And we've also consulted with various stakeholders. part of the challenges that we have with that strategy is that, you know, it could not be finalized as we had, you know, a lot of consultations to do, as these were cut across also with the community broadcasters. Another legislation that we had to publicize was around the media, the green paper on the MDDA. This has not been finalized because of it's also highly dependent on the audiovisual policy that I stated earlier. We have also, you know, during the course of the year, planned that, you know, we'll develop the community media support strategy. The research report on the community media has been compiled, and the research report on community media support mechanisms was also compiled. So in this area, we have done quite well, you know, on all the areas that we have planned, you know, during the course of the year. With regards to the support of community broadcasting, we planned to provide the infrastructure to 5 community radio stations that we have also achieved. Honorable members, I'm not going to go through the next slide because it explains what I've just said, and the first bullet talks to the number of radio stations that we have supported and the status on the white paper on audiovisual and digital content. I'll now move to program 3, which has to deal with industry and capacity development. In this area, we planned that by the end of the financial year, we'll switch off all the analog transmitters in the SK area. We have managed to switch off, you know, most of the transmitters in the core town. But however, as Minister stated, that we still have got those people that do not qualify for subsidized set-top boxes. So we'll have to make sure that they also migrate so that we switch off completely. So we have achieved what we had to achieve, you know, for the subsidized market, but however, for the unsubsidized, we have not achieved it. So, but we have done quite well because there are very few people. So as soon as we embark on a program that will ultimately, you know, attract them to move out, I think in the SK area, we have done quite well. So we're not going to dedicate more resources as is now because a lot has been done in the SK area. And then around digital migration, in this particular program, although there are many role players, the department has been allocated resources by the National Treasurer to ensure that, you know, there is you know, awareness so that, you know, people can migrate, you know, to the new program. So in the 2016-17 financial year, we planned to have, you know, 10 awareness campaigns. However, this has been exceeded because of during the budget adjustment, we received more resources and it was given to us very late. Hence, we have actually exceeded, you know, to have 59 of those awareness campaigns. But however, as Minister said, that there's still a lot that needs to be done in that particular area. In implementing this project, we also had to ensure that, you know, we prepare reports to monitor and evaluate the performance of the installers and the performance of the equipment or the set-top boxes that we have connected. And we planned to have 4 quarterly reports that has been achieved. And then in the area of implementing, number of international communication programs, you know, that we had to monitor around DTT, that has been achieved, and we plan for 2, and that has already been done. With regards to the number of stakeholder engagements, we plan for 10, however, 11 have been achieved. This area, we still have got a lot of challenges because of we don't even have, you know, a lot of resources, you know, to can take this work in all the provinces. So these are the people that, you know, mainly focus on the DTT during the course of the year and again in the policy area. So that is another area that will require, you know, capacity, although Minister spoke about, you know, some of them, but in the area of stakeholder management, there is still a lot of work that we need to do. We also plan to have, you know, we also plan to coordinate strategic multilateral partnerships. We've done that in this area, and we have achieved well with China and Russia. And with China, we focus mainly on broadcasting. However, Russia cut across between our work and that of the GCIF. In terms of the Broadcasting Act, the minister is expected, you know, to establish a committee that will advise, you know, on broadcasting, which is called the SABPAB, and its work program was planned to have two reports in a year. And this committee has helped us, you know, to produce two reports, and that was around skills development and funding around the broadcasting area. However, this committee, in terms of the Act, should have done more, but because of the funding challenges, they could not do well. But, and again, we also had some of the members not participating effectively, so we'll re-establish it, but taking into account that we're also amending, you know, legislation in this particular area. But they've also done well under the circumstances. We also plan, you know, to table two papers, you know, around multilateral and bilateral engagements that we have already done. And the next slide ultimately, you know, talks to that particular area. And in particular with the DTT program, as the minister has stated, we use various methods that we that for activating, you know, all the registration and raising awareness. And we've done it in various provinces. So when you look at that slide, you realize that, you know, of all those awareness campaigns that we had, we have not done well, or we have not even started, you know, in various provinces. As Minister has stated that, you know, we still have got challenges, but one of the biggest hurdles that we have managed, you know, to achieve was the Constitutional Court ruling, which has now set the pace or created, you know, certainty as to what needs to happen. So a total of 668 set-top boxes against the 5 million that we aim to distribute, you know, by the switch-off date, you know, has been done. And you look at that number, you realize that, you know, it is very, very low, that if we're to switch off all the transmitters by December next year, there's a lot that needs to be done. I've already spoken about the SK area. And one of the achievements that we have done is to encourage, you know, the training in the area of installation or of digital migration, so that, you know, we create jobs in this particular area. The Moses Kotane Institute has trained over 441 young people as installers for the DTT, and we have also had some being trained, you know, in the Northern Cape, and recently we also have some trained, you know, in the Free State. So what we need to do now is to engage with USASA, that we cannot have these people that have been trained, you know, sitting at home. How do we fully utilize them, you know, with the installers that, you know, they are going to appoint? So that is one area that we'll be focusing on with in our engagements, you know, with USASA in the next few months. With regards to the program, if you look at the chart, it reflects on the TV owning households registered, you know, per province. These are the number of people that have been registered per province. And on the other side, you'll see that, you know, there's a graph that reflects qualifying households that have been connected. And the bottom graph shows, you know, those that have been distributed, you know, to the post offices. So when you look at that figure compared to what we have planned to do, you know, for the 2018 analog switch off, that picture does not look very good. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done with all the role players that, you know, implement this particular program. And then the last program that we have is entity oversight. Entity oversight is a program that looks on the work of the all the entities that are within our portfolio. With regards to this project, we plan, you know, to ensure that all these entities comply with legislation by developing annual reports and quarterly reports that has been achieved. But however, in doing this work, at some stage, you know, based on capacity, we had to change, you know, the format that we have been using so that, you know, whatever that we report on gives the executive authority a true picture of what is happening, you know, in the entities. But however, we have done quite well in that area. We've managed, you know, to analyze the reports and submit them. So what used to happen is in this particular area is, given the capacity challenges, we'll bring in the CFO, we'll bring in HR and other units so that we are able to look at all those reports and, you know, advise on the areas that, you know, all these entities, you know, are on their work as to whether it's got impact or whether they've got challenges and the areas where the executive authority will have to provide, you know, direction. We also had to ensure that, you know, in terms of what they do, they provide, you know, two reports in terms of what they are doing on the alignment, you know, of our work and their work, and that has been achieved in all the entities. And we have, you know, various fora where we meet with all these entities. You know, we've got the CEO's forum, we've got the secretary's forum, we also have got the CFO's forum. These areas help us, you know, to deal with most of the governance matters that affect entities. So in this instance, we have also, you know, achieved that objective. And then with regards to the facilitation of the governance protocols, that we have done quite well. And then with regards to the shareholder compact and accountability instruments, we have achieved that, but however, as the minister stated, we continued to have a problem even in the past financial year on the performance of ICASA in this particular area, which the minister has prioritized, you know, to address regarding their compliance with the law to sign performance agreements. On the financial information, honourable members, when you look at the budget that was allocated to us, is 1.3 billion, and of that, 1.2 is transferred to all entities. So after that transfer, that gives you an idea as to the budget that we have as the department. As I stated earlier, we continue to do our best, you know, with the little that we have, and the GCIS also has been very much helpful in this particular area, because of in all the areas that we are dependent, you know, on them, the staff members are not paid more, and they are not even evaluated, you know, on their performance from the DOC side, and we are not even billed by the GCIS, you know, on the services that they are rendering to us. Also, on our part with legal services, we do the same, although it's strenuous, but we continue, you know, to cooperate with each other to ensure that, you know, we achieve, you know, our set objectives. So we operate under difficult, you know, financial conditions. But however, now I'll ask the CFO to take you through all the programs and on how we spend and the financial picture, you know, for the financial year in question.
Thanks, Acting DG, honourable members. The expenditure at the end of the financial year for March 2017 was 99%. So we have basically spent all what we have, except for the 11 million that we have received, 41 million during adjustment budget for DTT, which we have applied for rollover from National Treasury, and the rollover was approved for the current year financial spending. And the challenge being that when the money is given to departments in January, because that's when it was gazetted, it's very difficult to really do what you are supposed to do for the entire year in 2 months. basically. So, but we appreciate the fact that the rollover was approved, and now currently in this financial year we are busy spending on the budget. The chart just stipulates how the fund has been given. If you look at that, it says program one, we have allocated 57 million, we have spent 57 million. Program two, we are given 7 million, we have spent 6 million. And the bigger issue on program two, why we couldn't spend the whole amount. Bigger chunk of the money is given on the gazetting and the consultation to provinces on the policies that are supposed to be approved by cabinet and parliament. And in the absence of that approval, it also affected performance of this unit. So as a result of that, you will see this slow spending on this one, but it's not that bad. Program 3, that was where the DTT money came, you can see that the 41 million has boosted the program. It has a total budget of 47 million at the end of the year. We spent 35 and the 11 million was rolled over. Entity oversight, all the money was transferred to entities as per legislation and as per agreements that we have on trenches matters. On compensation of employees, we have spent 96%, goods and services 75%, honorable members is as a result of the 11 million on goods and services that we have to do that, and the smaller amount that we couldn't spend at the end. And that's basically how we have spent the budget. Then the economic classification is as it is. Goods and compensation 59.49. Goods and services, you have the budget of 15 million. Originally we have spent 20 million given the adjustment budget that we had to do. And on capital, that's how we have spent the money. Per program, I've already indicated how we did the final environment at the end of the financial year as required by PFMA within the 8% that we had to look at. And that gives the proper final allocation in terms of how we have spent at year end after we have done the adjustment budget and we have done the final environment for audit purposes. Then you can see that the amount that we couldn't spend as the variance at year end, it was 13.9 million. But for goods and services, we can only do the 11 million because we cannot ask for a rollover on compensation of employees. When you didn't spend on compensation of employees, the money gets surrendered to the revenue fund as it is. And that simple as that in terms of goods and services, it has explained the 11 million that I've talked about that we have requested for rollover on that one. And lastly, honorable members, the department with all the spending that they have done and the challenges that we have as an organization, we have received the clean audit from the Auditor General, and hopefully that will assist the department to continue to run in a better position. Yeah, thanks, honorable members and the DG.
Thank you very much, honorable minister. Thank you for the presentation. A good presentation. And I want to congratulate you on the receiving of the clean audit. However, the minister promised us this as part of an oversight mandate. He's going to look into the entities, because that is where the problems lie. I'm going to give over to the honourable members for questions. Honourable Safar, I noted you. Any other ends? If not, honourable Juliet? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable chair, honourable minister. Let me also welcome the presentation and congratulations, of course, for
42 Pino. The policy uncertainty was there no proper public engagement, or was it, what is it that is really causing this uncertainty? My second question will be on page 29, where SIBC incurred a loss of 976.8 million. In 2016-2017 financial year, can there be maybe an explanation or just a breakdown as to whether it is a liquid asset? Was it on legal expenditure or? Just a simple explanation for that. Myself as a lay person, when you talk of 976 million as a loss, it appears to be quite an exorbitant figure. No, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the report, Minister and the Department. It's really appreciated, the shorter version, though. But, Chairperson, I'll focus mainly on the entities of the Department. Firstly, the MDDA. Now, as the Minister went to the MDDA for oversight. I think it's a few, so it's not more than a month. And there were allegations made there by staff that they are being intimidated and victimized and they cannot speak out. And these allegations further state that you actually silenced them to say that they cannot go public with this. Now, it's worrying. It's worrying. If you want to get this department to have a very good annual report and work according to what we want to as government, I think we need to do more to keep our people happy, our staff happy, especially those on the lower levels. And the Minister, please tell us what actually transpired there. And are you prepared to do a further investigation on that? Still with MDDA, I just want to clarity for the record of minutes in this meeting whether Mrs. Nkomo is now the CEO. Because it was previously denied that Mrs. Nkomo is the CEO of MDDA. You rescinded Mr. Lefiko's appointment as acting CEO, Minister. And we want this department to work. We want MDDA to work because there's a lot of reason to believe that MDDA is currently non-functional. And that can be basically ascribed to the fact that he was fired because, in the words of the deputy minister, your deputy minister said, he cancelled irregular contracts and that's why you got rid of him. So if that is the case, Minister, how can we really say that we're doing our best in this communications department if these things are still happening in MDDA? Going to GCIS, Minister, I'm still not comfortable. I know you answered a written question in the House on this. Oral question in the House on this, but I'm still not comfortable. Why are we
as government communication, why are we still giving contracts to compromised media in this country? If you look at ANN7 and UH, we cannot afford to spend money on compromised people and businesses. We know that the Gupta sold the company, and you said that you are happy that it's a black industrialist coming into or empowering a black person. I don't believe it for 1 minute. And I think most South Africans can also believe that there might be something there. There's a snake in the grass there. How can the department really forge ahead with this compromise deal? I think it's giving government a bad name, and this department is actually also responsible for looking after Brand SA. Which brings me to the next one. I just want to know, in terms of Brand SA, Minister, because it is such an important entity for government as a whole, because Brand SA, you know, it started with an international aspect to put South Africa on the map out there. And yet we saw, and I'm not blaming you now for this, but I think that you have to take note of it and do something about it, that we saw one of the Guptas for over 10 years as a board member, a foreigner, actually as a board member to brand our country. You know, and it cannot be right. So I want to know whether in future will you vet these ministers, because it's no use we're looking at the presentation of the annual report 2016-17 and we're not planning ahead to say what are we going to do in terms of these challenges, Minister, because it will really impact on it. We're already seeing our country is falling apart because of huge you know, people's minds are like that, Chairperson, that, you know what, this is a corrupt government. Foreigners also think about that. It has a huge impact on economic development and future growth of this country if you don't look at the Department of Communication, especially Brand SA. I want to know how are they vetted, these board members, and how do you secure that a foreigner will not become part of it? For now, I'll stop the Chairperson. Thank you.
Let's appreciate first the presentation by the department. I would like to talk, Chair, on the presentation by the minister, both and the presenter. They both mentioned the issue of a non-availability of funding. And I am looking at their overall performance, which is sitting at 76% as we speak. And what you highlighted, Honorable Minister, that you have challenges of capacity, you've got challenges of funding, and you're also having people that are acting in the department, and you do not have the DDG. So what I would like to know from the minister, what is then the plan for this capacity that you need, and also the issue of acting persons, given the fact that you are saying there is no funding, the plan of the department, because we want to see your performance going up. And if you have such gaps in terms of staff, you are, in my view, going to have serious problems. And the other issue, Chair, is on issue of the digital migration, which they have delivered as they expected. But still, there was an issue on the issue of non-availability of budget. What is the plan of the department to ensure that
we deliver on that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honorable Sufako, in terms of your question on engagement on policy, public engagement have been done. You'd note that when there's a policy, there will be that time where government issues on the government gazette for publication, for engagement. What has happened is that the policy went to cabinet, and then during the discussions, there were specific departments that were requested to have a bilateral with the Department of Communication. So that's the engagement that we are involved in terms of that. I think the team will answer more in terms of the losses of SABC. Then, Honorable Julius, I think I have three being appointed. The day I came to NCOP to answer questions, that was my first day on job, actually. So the person you're referring to who has met with the staff is my predecessor, not me personally. It's Minister Sosa, not Minister Sufani Mubane. I think that's why I need to clarify that. From where I'm sitting, maybe just to give you comfort, I have engaged with the team leadership there of MTDA to get the report and the team that we are working with that is responsible for oversight. There were issues of concern, we have addressed them, but what we thought we would do as well equally is to look at the capacity there in terms of the executive, because I think that's where the challenge is, because we don't have a full-time CEO. That's one of the issues. So we need to have capacity in terms of the leadership that will be able to drive the institution. The issue of Mrs. Nkomo, she is the chair of the board, and one of the things, maybe just to give an update, is that
she has written to request a leave, but now her term is coming to an end. I'm not aware of her being a CEO. She's the chair of the board. There's a time where there was not a chair, and she became an interim. And the explanation I got was that they, as a board, had written to the minister to request the minister to second somebody at the MTTA as CEO. And when that period delayed, I think it was 3 weeks or something, and then they had to have the board agree that the chairperson becomes a caretaker. That's what the explanation I have. Becomes the caretaker of the MTTA. We are looking at all. We would not want to have an environment where staff members are intimidated. We'll definitely deal with it. We have I've asked the team to schedule some time with the entire board so that we can ask them to look at the matters and ensure the environment that is conducive. It's very simple because that entity doesn't even have many staff members. I mean, you have about less than 50. So to have an environment like that when you have less than 50, and these are young people, bright minds, but future of the country. So we'll deal with that properly. We'll engage through the board. You know that Parliament has approved additional members. We have appointed them on the board. But equally, when I got in, Ms. Peri Sangomo had indicated that she's actually in an intense program of her master's study, and it's becoming difficult to cope. So she's asked us to approve her leave. And one of the things for me was to say, when we're approving a leave, we can't have a vacancy. So we've asked the president to designate a chairperson to assist so that we can deal with some of the issues that you are raising, member, so that we can get to the bottom of it and ensure that we have a functioning entity. So there isn't any intention of stifling issues or intimidating. We'll definitely deal with them where the staffs are intimidated and all that. Attend to it definitely on that. Indeed, I have received a report from the DM together with the team in terms of the issues that were raised there. We are looking in detail if indeed there were irregular contracts that were there. Have they been stopped? Who was responsible? Definitely will do that and ensure there's consequence management there. On the issue of GCIS, I was spending in the media space, and as you would have noted when I answered the question in the NCOP, our engagement in the media space is that, for example, we'll place adverts across because you've got to show that you are not biased towards any. That's one. It's around placing of adverts, it's around communicating certain messages. And we've got to be cognizant, Honourable Member, that whether our perception is what about a particular company, there are readers, because our interest is the readers, reaching out to readers more than anything. And I think where you are sitting with the issues that you are raising, you have the right. I think where I'm sitting, whether there's, because we can't as government operate on hearsay, for example. If there's issues that are raised with us, formally to say, Mr. Mzwanele Mani is not the rightful owner, but I've seen even recently last week where it was shown the company that has bought formally the shareholders and all that. Where I'm sitting, I don't think there's anything untoward, that sort of thing. For where we are sitting in terms of transformation of our sector, it's critical to see emerging black people to come through. And to see diversifying of ownership in the sector. That's where I'm sitting. Unless there's evidence that proves otherwise that he's not an owner. But where I'm sitting, there's been, I mean, some journalists went there even to verify the documents, if they are valid and all that. Nothing has come up that is tangible. They've gone to the DIS, what is it, CIPC, companies to verify. There's been a lot of investigative journalist to check if the transaction is legit, and nothing has come out to prove that that transaction of Mr. Mani buying into that company is not legit. So I have, as a minister, no legal basis of saying or giving even instructions to the team to say you can't do business with this entity. So that's where we are standing now. On the issue of brand SA, we don't have any foreigner who's sitting in as a trustee of Brand SA. We do the work. Remember, they get even registered in the trust because they are trustees, they are not board members. So their process is very rigorous, it's different, but I can assure where I'm sitting, I'm not aware of any foreigner that is sitting as a trustee of Brand SA. So so that's what I wanted to raise. Honorable Mwita, yes, we do have the issues, and that's why I spoke about the issues of acting. The plan for us, one, would be to request more funding from Treasury and hoping that it can, especially for funding of posts, so that we can be able to execute our mandate. But secondly, on the issue around acting, we are looking at filling those vacancies by the end of this year. Those who are funded, if you look at the presentation, it gives you that we have so many vacancies that are funded. We have a structure that is big, and we have funding posts that are unfunded. For example, out of the senior level, for example, we have a vacancy of DG. In terms of DDGs, we only have two funded posts. That's the only thing that we have funded. We can only advertise and appoint two DDGs. Now, if you are to look at, and those are stakeholder almost, SOC, oversight, and policy. So we don't have a DDG for corporate services, funded post. So you can imagine that's one of the issues. I mean, to the point that the team had to look at how you scale down even on some of the responsibilities that we have. It's not advisable. That's why you can see in our policy area is not moving, because one of the things you look at government is that if you have a GDG, you must have a GDG, there must be so many chief directors, there must be so many directors. We can't do that. We can't populate that. So if you have a GDG that's sitting with maybe one chief director and then two or one director, so we have in that situation. Even if you are to appoint a GDG in SOC oversight, you're going to have, we have two people there, literally, doing all the work. Now, you're going to have a GDG with two people. It's not populated. You need more. Other posts are not funded. So that's when we look at our structure, it's just difficult. But as we say, we're doing more with less that we have. Now, we have a plan. If we are given the fund, we'll definitely advertise the post and fill the vacancies. On the issue, I think even what Chair is raising, the plan and all that, you'd know, Chair, because of the project of digital migration, we have various entities that have a role, one Centec, in terms of ensuring that transmission is available. Centec has been able to meet its obligation. Where we have a challenge with Centec is dual illumination, because they're currently running, they've put infrastructure for digital transmission, but they still have to run analog because we have not switched on. Now, running both of them, maintenance and everything, it's costly, because you've got to have engineers and all that. And I'm hoping that one day the portfolio committee, the select committee, maybe can do an oversight so that you can see the state of readiness. Everything is there. One of the things that even the call center where people needed to do, because we needed to have a calling center for the digital migration, it's there. So that part is done. The second part was around mobilization of community to register. And this is how the project was phased out. The first phase was in the SK area, so that we don't tamper with the SK in the Northern Cape. As DG was saying, that part is done from our side. We need to go back to the community to encourage and work with the private sector to provide what is affordable set-top boxes in the area. Because even if some people will deal with priority, but we need to say to them, this is the deadline for you as SK area for us to switch off. Unless we do that, they will not be able to go and get it, because it's not a priority. So that we are able to switch off completely in that area and we don't have interference with what we have there. The second phase of the project was for us to move into the borderline. your border of Mozambique, your border of Swaziland, your border of Botswana, all the neighboring countries, so that when other countries are able to migrate, we don't have the interference, we don't end up being penalized, because once we interfere, we have a spillover, what we call spillover. If we have a spillover, for example, we've had an incident of a spillover into Botswana, which was radio, Senteke to go. Fortunately, we were not charged. And some time ago, it's not about digital migration, it was on radio and TV. And that, because of that, you are penalized if something like that happens. So that's why our second phase was to say, let's do the borders. Now, what became a challenge, that's where we slowed down and not had more progress, because there was these issues of encryption and all that. But part of the issues was the uptake. The uptake, because part of the condition was that if you want to be a beneficiary of a set-top box, you needed to have a TV license. And remember, the Act stipulates that anyone who has a TV must have a TV license. Now, we can go and implement in areas where people do not have TV licenses. As custodians of the police and the legislation, we'll be contravening the legislation. So it's very critical for us to ensure that there is compensation. Though there is a waiver, people are saying the waiver needs to happen, but we need to ensure that it's not contravening the law. And how do you get around it? I mean, we know that elderly are getting subsidized, so we could focus on those and make sure if it's an amnesty, it must be done properly within the SAPC, that we are able to get into those areas, not as a state government, keeping a waiver of license, because otherwise that is illegal. So that's the issue. Post office was given the responsibility to register people, and I think part of what the drive we're trying to do with communities, and we're looking at better ways of now spreading the word, communicating better, so that everybody knows that I can go to post office, register, must go and ask for this, so that I can be looked at. But part of the other areas is, are there other mechanisms for us to be able to run out? You know, make sure that we intend. But because of the slow pace and the fights in between the installers or the contractors that were given to manufacture the boxes with USASA, there's a case there as well in USASA that is still pending, because there was a review of the process in procurement. So as I said, Chair, we are meeting with them to look at the whole thing, how best can we resolve everything. The major hurdle was that one of encryption and unencryption. So it sorted, the Constitutional Court has provided guidance, we should be able to move. And I think we'll be happy, Chair, to come back and share with the Select Committee details of how we're going to do it and what are the best models. I mean, we do have a lot of expertise out there that we can utilize, the sector that is ready to partner with us to be able to assist and move the digital migration, and I think we'll be able to get it on the contract. Thank you very much. I think that Tintiche and CFO.
Thank you, Minister. I'll start with the SAPC. As you are all aware that, you know, the SAPC funding model is as such that, you know, 85% of the funding that they have, they receive from advertisers and sponsors, and it's only 3% that they receive from us, you know, for educational programs. So from the advertising part of it is that they set, you know, the target for themselves that, you know, they're going to receive so much, which we normally refer to as what is it that, you know, will make them, you know, to break even. So with the challenges that they have last year, it was not mainly around the legal matters or other operations, but mainly the loss came from the fact that, you know, the advertising revenue dropped as soon as most of the issues around the SAPC, you know, were in the public domain. So the revenue that they budgeted for, you know, dropped. In addition to that, it was, you know, how they have managed, you know, the performance bonuses, that, you know, around 31 million was also, you know, paid to, you know, employees that without even a performance management system, which was also highly irregular, and the 11 million that was paid also, you know, to the former, you know, COO. So those were some of the issues that, you know, affected, you know, the laws around the SABC. So it's around those areas that, you know, we find that, you know, there was such, you know, a huge loss, but mainly it was coming from the revenue, which some of the issues that I mentioned, it's the board dealt with, you know, through the National Treasury, you know, to regularize some of these matters, especially around, you know, performance bonuses. But I must inform members that now the SABC has commenced with the performance management system to ensure that, you know, that is within the law and it's something that, you know, is approved by the board rather than, you know, giving everyone, you know, performance bonuses, you know, regardless of the availability of the framework. And then I will also address the issue of the capacity, although Minister spoke also about it. We have also realized that, you know, with GCIS, the chief audit executive, you know, now had challenges, you know, because of the workload that they've done. And we have made, you know, progress in this area, that we have appointed a deputy director, at least, you know, from our area to help us. Because if we don't have somebody that assists us on a daily basis to check our controls and system and wait for a normal audit process that is undertaken by internal audit and AG, we might easily regress. So internal audit is, you know, partially budgeted for, although we do not have a director. And also, you know, those positions, as Minister stated, you know, they are budgeted for. So, but we need to have a balanced, you know, structure, because you can have DDGs, but if you don't have people that will support them, you know, it will not assist us. With regards to the pricing, you know, of set-top boxes, as Minister spoke about, we're estimating that, you know, the maximum cost of the boxes should be around 400 rand. And as you are aware that Minister spoke about, the investigation that has been carried by the National Treasury, as well as the PwC, there were irregularities around, you know, the procurement process. So we hope that if we were to go through the next round of the procurement of these boxes, the prices would ultimately, you know, go down. So we're hoping that, you know, that will also address some of the challenges that we have. But again, as far as the plan of migration is concerned, during the MTEC hearing, Treasury requested us to lead the process, and we had to present, you know, what is required, you know, per entity. So in order for us to conclude this project, we need around 7.9, you know, billion, you know, for all the entities that are responsible, you know, for the rollout of this project. And then again on this particular project, part of the challenges, honorable members, like Minister has said, besides this linking the TV license and the set-top boxes, we'll go to the to a particular municipality and get a list of, you know, the qualifying households. One of the first challenge that you go in there is that, yes, this household qualify for a box, but they don't even have a TV. That is one kind of a challenge that we face on a daily basis. So we're looking also at various partnerships that, you know, would ultimately, you know, ensure that we also manage this particular project. Because in the past year, it has been very evident that, you know, we need various role players and stakeholders, you know, in the sector to assist us in dealing with the roll out of this particular project, because as is now, the funding that we receive from Treasury, you know, is not adequate, and let alone the SABC, which will make this project, you know, sustainable by content. It's not even funded, you know, for DTT. So that is the biggest challenge that we have. But we'll be reviewing this kind of strategy that we have at the moment, as Minister stated, after Minister has received a full report, you know, from all implementing entities. So I think that those are the questions that Minister has not addressed that I had to address. Is that the one that you say is a loss in advertising revenue?
Yeah, because it's so notable, even if it's only